it's perfectly normal to stop when you reach that point where you need to stop. Okay, you got a handout this morning? Look at the title. So sensitive. Because I want to ask you, how does that phrase strike you? Negative or positive? So sensitive. Have you ever had, or maybe, can you think of the last time you used that on somebody? Oh, you're so sensitive. Or somebody used it on you? Are you the person that, oh, you're so sensitive. Okay. Truth is, we all have different levels of sensitivity. We can all be more or sensitive or less sensitive about different things. Some of you are more sensitive about the temperature in the room. It's in my notes for a reason. Some of you are more sensitive about the random sounds that are about right now, like the air just kicking on or in the hallway, or maybe now that I brought it to your attention, you're even more sensitive about those sounds. You're welcome. Truth is, there are sociologists refer to this as specific sensitivity, where you have specific sensitivity about certain things. But when it comes to temperament, there are differences in our general levels of sensitivity on how much sensory information we can take in at one time and about how much emotional input is too much. Let's think of sensory input. Think of it as having weight and mass. Everything you feel, everything you hear, everything you see, touch, smell, taste. Think of all of those things as having weight or mass. At some point, everyone will reach the limit of how much they can take, of how much weight they can handle. Let me get into the notes here. Everyone has a point of overload, of sensory overload. And it's really no different than being physically overloaded. For instance, when we go to Planet Fitness and there are a wide range of physical abilities on display at Planet Fitness, and you go in and you see these guys that are all jacked up and they're like got enormous amounts of, and then you got the older people that are barely getting on the treadmill and just get along. And then you got everybody in between. And even if the person on the machine before me has this ridiculous amount of weight on it, and I have to dial it down to my level, I don't really feel self-conscious about it. I might feel a little embarrassed, you know, that I can't do as much as she did. But it would be foolish and unproductive for me to say, well, you just need to suck it up, man. Man, you just need to, don't be such a weenie. You can do it. Okay? That would be dumb. It would be unproductive. Because overloading myself with too much weight, it could cause injury. It could cause, you know, something bad. And even after normal exercise, you need some time to recover. There's recovery time that you have to have when you're doing weight and exercise. Not being able to take more weight or not being able, you know, having to take some time to recover doesn't mean I'm handicapped. It doesn't mean I have some sort of disorder. It doesn't mean that I'm weak necessarily. It's perfectly normal to stop when you reach that point where you need to stop. It's not only normal, it's healthy to rest and recover. And for physical load, it looks like this. You have this diagram on your handout there, the five circles. You have weight, you take on weight until you reach your stopping point. And when you reach your stopping point, you should pause so that you can avoid injury. And when you've stopped and you pause, then you can proactively rest. Okay. And as you've done that, then you can do it again. And then you can take more weight. And you can, until you reach your stopping point. Then you pause, avoid injury, proactive rest, and around you go. This process for physical exercise and physical weight is the same as it is for emotional sensitivity, where there's external stimulation and you have all this sensory input. You're going to reach a stopping point. You might. And when we reach our emotional stopping point and we don't stop, then we'll struggle, because we struggle when we ignore the pain. There's always, you know, with just like it is with physical, there's a point with that emotional sensory input where there can be pain, where there can be like, got to stop. And when we ignore the pain, we're going to struggle, because pain is just that warning light on your dashboard. And you can ignore that warning light for a time. But and we're tempted to do that. We're tempted to ignore the pain. We're like, okay, I can handle it. It's a lot. You know, I'm no delicate flower. I can go, you know. So with emotional sensory input, let's go through this again. We have external stimulation. You have crowds, you have noise. There's no other diagram. You're going to just have to deal with what you got, okay? Some people flipping their paper. Is there more five circles? No, there's not. You got crowd, you got noise, you got all kind of, you got decisions, you got things going on, you got excitement. It could be good things. It doesn't have to be bad things. It could be good things we're enjoying, not just the bad stimulation of things we hate, you know, like rush hour traffic or children going, mom, 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 mom. No, they don't do that. They just go, mom, mom. And we hit the stopping point, the point where we need to step back. We need to take a breath. We need to just take a brief pause here. But we don't want to appear weak. We don't want to appear precious. We don't want to appear like we're so sensitive or weird. So we push through. And when we push through, we incur injury. We injure ourselves. And as a result, we experience the results of overstimulation, which can include anxiety or anger or confusion or just shutting down. More external stimulation just worsens the problem. And we're even less able to experience that overstimulation. Okay, am I hitting anybody here? Okay. Or that explains to you some people where they're reaching a stopping point and they've chosen to stop. Or they've chosen to push through, or they've been forced to push through. They've been forced to go past that point. And there's things that happen. I want to be clear. None of this, you know, pushing through and experiencing injury and going on and experiencing all that excuses us from the responsibility of our choices. Bad behavior doesn't get excused just because we have these strong feelings. But, you know, we can't say, well, I just couldn't help it. I was overwhelmed, so I snapped and I lashed out, or I shut down and I got all in my feelings because, okay, I get it. But we really can help ourselves here if we do stop at the stopping point rather than pushing through. It'll make it just that much easier to do the right thing. So one other important point to note in this is that we all reach our stopping point at a different rate. We all reach it at a different rate. Imagine we have a container. And we're going to fill our container with water. Let's imagine we have two containers, two pitchers of water. They both look the same. They both have the same thing going on. Same size, same amount of water, and we're each pouring in at exactly the same rate. And what you can't see, even though they're pouring at the same rate, they're filling up at a different rate. You're going, what's going on? Same amount of inputs coming in, experiencing the same thing, but somebody got a little full a little faster. Well, what you can't see is that there are filters on the top. And one has wide open, so it's pouring right in. And one of us has that normal filter, and some of it's going in, and some of it's getting splashed out, and it's not filling at the same rate. And a lot of us tend to be at the filter part, where things get filtered out, and you don't notice so much, and so it's not affecting you as much. But some people are filling up very quickly. When we talk about highly sensitive people, this is what we mean. They're wide open. They're sensing more, and they're sensing more at a faster rate, and so they're filling up faster. And highly sensitive people experience more of what's being poured in. Everything's coming in. Everything's filling them up, weighing them down at a faster rate. And you can't figure it out, because you look at those people and you go, you're done? That's it? You're done? You want to go home now? We've only been here 10 minutes. This is a great party. What are you doing? But everything's just filling them up really quickly. And you're like, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Okay. Let's be very clear. This is not brain disorder. This is not autism. It's not ADHD. It's none of that. It is temperament. And roughly, sociologists, scientists tell us that roughly about 20% of people are highly sensitive. It's just the temperament and the way it is. And it's not all introverts either. 30% of highly sensitive people are extroverts. Everything's coming in at a faster rate, and it's overwhelming, it's weighing you down at a faster rate. And the solution is not to become insensitive. Well, you just need to toughen up. You just need to not be so sensitive. As we've said throughout this series, God has made you and designed you for His purpose so that you can serve with purpose. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We were watching a show the other night, and the guy on the show was talking about how he had been hurt in life, and his solution was to shut down. His solution was to cut people off, to get away from people, because he'd had too much. He was choosing insensitivity as his solution. You're not going to be able to fulfill God's purposes in your life if you do that. When you think of a highly sensitive people in your life, you might be tempted to fill in this next blank with sensitivity is a hurdle in fulfilling God's purpose, or sensitivity is a stumbling block in fulfilling God's purpose, or sensitivity is a hindrance in fulfilling God's purpose. Well, actually, sensitivity is a requirement in fulfilling God's purpose. Sensitivity is a very good thing. Last week, Trudy talked about our thinking and the hurdles we have to overcome. And she read this much-read passage, Romans 12, give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. She did not finish that verse, so let's finish it. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now learn, that word learn, you might want to underline that. That's a Greek word. Dokimozo is the original Greek word, and it means to test, to examine, to prove, in order to discern, to use all of your senses in order to sense what God's will is for you. That's what he's saying. When you change your thinking, then you will be able to discern. You will be able to be sensitive to what God wants you to do. And sensitivity is a requirement to know and follow God's purpose. And Godly sensitivity is a spiritual strength. It's a spiritual strength. Ephesians 4, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Why? Because their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives. Why? Because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have become insensitive. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Remaining sensitive and vulnerable isn't weakness. It's courage. It's the courage to stay tender and compassionate. Philippians 2:1, a couple of us in this room ought to be able to say this one. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Are your hearts sensitive? Next, godly sensitivity requires grace and humility. Grace and humility. If you are not a highly sensitive person, remaining connected to those who are highly sensitive will require you to be full of grace and mercy for that highly sensitive person. Instead of rolling your eyes and wondering, why do you have to be so sensitive? They need your grace and humility. In fact, right after Paul asks if we are tender and compassionate in verse 1, he goes on to say, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Remember, we're all trying to fill the same purpose, and that is to follow God, to do his will. So we have to agree wholeheartedly. Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered, acting with the attitude that I don't care about the sensitivity of others. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. In other words, if you're not highly sensitive, you need to at least be sensitive enough to understand and support your sensitive friend. And these verses go the other way. If you do have sensitivity, when your insensitive jerk of a friend or spouse or coworker or boss or whatever they are, when they're rolling right over you and pushing you beyond your stopping point, and they don't want to stop, your continued sensitivity is going to require that you give grace and mercy and possibly forgiveness. Ephesians 4. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior, because when you've gone beyond your stopping point, especially if it feels like you're being pushed and it feels like you're hurt and you're eager to clap back with all of this anger and slander and harsh words, instead, be kind to each other. And you feel that way because actually, in your brain, when you've been pushed beyond your stopping point, it tends to push you towards a fight and flight response. And a lot of times we'll lean into the fight. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Colossians, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, if they're being a jerk, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. 1 Peter, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. And being truly humble doesn't mean being a martyr, being a I'm no good and nobody loves me and I'm neurotic. Okay. But actually it means being truly humble, and it means you will advocate for yourself. You won't just go, no. You might have to say, okay, I need to pause here. I need to stop. You will speak up because, as we already said, in order to be humble, you must have appropriate rest and good boundaries. everyone needs appropriate rest. God designed our week with appropriate rest, one day in seven. He designed every day with appropriate rest. He designed it with a night and a day. Rest doesn't always mean sleep. I mean, you get a little, it's like, oh, I can't sleep. Okay, I get it. But rest sometimes just means a break from the emotional input, which is why mobile devices aren't necessarily a good break from emotional input. Because actually the algorithm is designed to get you going. It's designed to keep you scrolling and stimulate you when what you need is actual rest. And so we've talked a lot about boundaries because good boundaries are necessary, not walls, not where we shut people out and keep ourselves secluded, but boundaries to know that this is me and that is you, and I'm responsible for what God has placed within my boundaries. Remember, we've been talking about introverts and extroverts, and the entire difference between introverts and extroverts and where you are on that continuum is a question of energy, where we have it and where we don't. Introverts lean more towards internal energy. Extroverts lean more towards external energy. And we are each called to steward the energy God has given us. Ephesians 5, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Remember that Greek word, dokimozo? There it is again. And here it's translated as carefully determine, discern, be sensitive to what pleases the Lord. And further down in the chapter, it says, so be careful. And this time the word careful is a word blepo. That's fun. Which means to see, to discern. Be careful. Discern how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stewarding the energy which God has given us to fulfill His purpose, whether that's introvert energy or extrovert energy, requires that we remain aware and focused on the overriding goal. Not to act without thought or to act without thoughts which are disrupted and distracted and restricted by hurdles we talked about last week, but which are fully alive and energized by the Holy Spirit and lived out in gratitude for what He has made for us and made us to be for Himself. And here's the thing, Jesus modeled how to do it. I think sometimes we're guilty of, when we talk about Jesus as a model, we're guilty of kind of discounting Jesus' example because we go, well, like, He's God, so how could I ever? No, Jesus, yeah, He was God, but He was 100% human, 100%, which means that He, all that He did, He was had the same energy constraints that we do. He had the same challenges. He was tested in every way, just like we are, is what it says. And sometimes we read in Scripture devotionally, and we focus on individual stories, and we miss the bigger picture. But we forget that they're part of a larger narrative. For instance, I'm going to take you through Luke chapter 8 really quick. Luke chapter 8 has 56 verses. So I'm not going to read 56 verses, thank you. But I am going to show you this outline of what happens in Luke chapter 8. Verses 1 through 3, Jesus begins a preaching tour of towns and villages nearby. 4 through 15, parable of the farmer scattering seed on different kinds of ground. 16 through 18, the parable of the lamp. 19 through 21, his mother and brothers try to see him, and he says, who are my mothers and brothers? 22 through 25, he calms the storm. 26 through 38, encounters a demon-possessed man, sends the demons into the pigs, makes the town angry. They chase him off. Verses 40 through 42, Jairus comes to him. He's got a sick daughter, says, hey, come with me. But on his way, a woman with constant bleeding comes to him. And then after he deals with her, he goes back and he heals Jairus' daughter. That's a lot. It's a lot going on. But there's a key element right in the middle of all that. As you look at that whole list, a lot going on there. And there's a key element right in the middle. And we comment on this a lot, but we don't see how important it is to the whole picture, because it happens right there where he calms the storm. Yeah, verse 23, Jesus settled down for a nap, right in the middle. Was he tired? Probably. But recovery, remember what we said we're looking for? Not just recovery, proactive recovery. Because it wasn't just about what he had done, it was about what he was going to do. He had to get ready for what he was going to do. And so he had some proactive recovery. But if we haven't set good boundaries and proactively rested, we're not going to be ready for what's next. And you can see all that came next. You see that long, big list, including what happened in verse 43. A woman in the crowd suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, you're crazy. This whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." And again, here's Jesus putting himself in a position so that even in the midst of this very overstimulating environment where everybody's crowding around him, he's sensitive to someone who needs him at the moment. The healing wasn't what she needed. He felt that already happened. She was healed. When the woman realized she couldn't stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell at her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. That wasn't what she needed. She needed Jesus to be sensitive to that so that he could turn around and say, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Being sensitive to others will take something out of you. But that's why it was given to you. Carefully steward what you've been given, and then be willing to give it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you how you fashioned us. Lord, we pray that those of us that maybe sometimes struggle with being insensitive will be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and notice those around us, those that need you, and those of us that are maybe sometimes overwhelmed with sensitivity would find your grace and your mercy, Lord, and find that ability to stop when we need to. Lord, to partake of you. We thank you and love you. Go with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.